County Commission meeting for March 30th at 9:09 a.m. We'll start with Mr. Finley. Can you do a prayer for us?
Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you and just praise you for the great God that you are. We pray again, God, that you would just be with us today, that you just watch over us, just give us guidance in all that we do. We pray that you just help us to be good stewards of the information we have. We know that you are the sent your son to die upon a cross to save us, God. We pray, God, that you would just give these elected officials today and all the wisdom that they may need to make decisions. Just help us to be in your will throughout this day. These things we ask in your son's name.
Amen. Could we have a Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Any commission remarks? Next on the agenda, accounts payable.
Move to approve checks number 343480 through 343533 and one journal entry.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Mm-hmm.
No, I didn't. I read them, but I forgot to sign, write them down.
Next on the agenda is approval of previous minutes and executive session minutes.
Move to approve regular meeting minutes dated March 23rd and executive session minutes of March 16th and March 23rd.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. TIF distribution process. Morning.
As you're all aware, just recently the commission has asked me to take over the TIF distribution to the city of Branson. And so I began researching that with the help of Rick Finley, who's been doing it for several years, and several conversations with Carl Garrett. And I discovered that when the collector collects real estate for the city of Branson, for the TIF district, they are taking the funds and only the funds that they collect from us and putting it into their allocation fund for the TIF district. That is different than what our current procedure is. When we receive sales tax from the state Department of Revenue, we are distributing to the city of Branson based on what the state has collected for those properties within the TIF district. We are not deducting the 1% that the state is actually deducting from us. That procedure is completely different than what the city of Branson is doing for the real estate taxes that they are receiving. I think that we should both be on the same page, and that's one of the things I'm bringing to you. So I based that on conversations with different people and a DVD that I've presented to Mike Schofield that he can share with each of you. And in that DVD, Mark Grimm, who is an attorney for Gilmore and Bell, was questioned on whether or not counties should be distributing only what they collect to the TIF districts. And his response was yes, that we should only be distributing based on what we collect. I also talked to Jack Dillingham with Piper Jaffray, and he agreed we should only be distributing based on what we collect. Now, that is opposite of what Rick McConnell with Gilmore and Bell has said. He says we should be distributing the 1% that the state is withholding. Well, I think that Rick directly works for the city of Branson, and he built that opinion back in 2011 based on how he felt. He still upholds that opinion. But as any of us know, there is you can have three attorneys in the room, and all three attorneys can have a different opinion. But logic would dictate that if the city of Branson is not adding an additional, making up the fees that the county is withholding for the real estate, it would seem logical that we would not be making up fees that the state is withholding. It's difficult to distribute something that you don't have. So we're making up from other funds that are supposed to be going to other projects. So I'm asking the commission to look into this change, and hopefully we can be on the same page with the city of Branson and move forward. And I'd just like to reiterate that this is something that Rick Finley had brought to the commission years ago. And at one point in time, the commission was distributing in that manner. And then there was a change in the commission. I believe that was the case. And he was then asked to distribute it, including the 1%. I hope I'm not being confusing to the public, because it is a little confusing. So when I did talk to Rick McConnell, I found out I did some research and found out there was a Supreme Court decision for St. Francis County that does allow for fees to be taken out that are statutory. If the law allows for fees to be taken out, then I don't think we should be subject to dispersing fees that are being held by the Department of Revenue to the city of Branson. So I'm respectfully requesting that you look into this before I do a distribution to the city of Branson. And Brandon, I did email that work that I did to you so that you would have that available if you guys wanted to talk about it. But they are waiting on their distribution for March. I have not done it and don't intend to do it until I get a decision from the commission on the proper way to do it. But I think at the very least, the city of Branson and Taney County should be dispersing in the same manner, because they're not making up the fees that we're withholding.
Did you let anybody with the city know that we were doing this today?
Yes, I did. I talked to both Carl Garrett.
Carl and Jamie.
And Jamie Roach. And I just spoke to her again today.
Okay.
And
I invited them on, whenever I got the emails from you, I invited them, and they said they wouldn't be able to make it on short notice. But I think we need to have them present before we start. I think everybody needs to be in the same room before we start making changes to something that's been done. Rick, how long has it been doing this way? Do you know?
I look back at before 2006, I was asked to do this. And actually, when I was asked to do that, they ran some tight shoulders. Quite a lot more than what I thought the county was supposed to pay. We negotiated back and forth, came up with an understanding and agreed to that. At that time, I didn't even realize that the information that I got from the DOR did not
reflect the.
When I discovered that, I began to check around with other first-class counties to see if they dispersed before or after they took the 1% out. I think I found one county that was dispersing before they took that out, and they actually, when they hadn't discovered the same thing I had discovered.
Yeah.
So I don't think there's any counties that I can find right now that are dispersing before they take the 1% out. Based upon that research that I've done, the commission told me to start paying that after the 1%, take the 1% out of pay. We did that for somewhere in the neighborhood of 9 months, maybe close to a year. And Branson, of course, didn't like that. They wanted all the money that we get, and they don't blame them for that. But my commission, after some study, and I don't know what study they did, I can't tell you that, because but at that time I think it was, Mr. Trahan was here, but I think Mr. Schaaf was the House Board. I have to look and see. I've got the email on that. He instructed me to start paying without taking the 1% out, and also go back and figure out what that 1% was. And if you guys look at the bills that I've been sending through up until the gas system, we need to take this over, you'll see what that 1% amounts to. I've been showing you that all along. Does that answer your question?
Since 2006, so 9 years. That was my question.
There was.
There was
a. The reason that it was changed back was because of attorney's opinions that we had checked in on, and during that time frame, we withheld it, and then there was an attorney's opinion sent to the county commission that said that we should pay the full amount, and that is the reason that Branson even requested the monies from the previous 6 to 9 months. I didn't know the time frame, but anyway, they requested those funds, and we even had you figure out what that amount was for those that time frame. Okay. So it has been a
dilemma, as Jamie says. One opinion, one legal saying this, another opinion, another legal saying this.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like the Attorney General's opinion, right?
Kind of like
where I really don't care what it says. I just care what a judge says.
I think you do care.
I care what a judge says.
Well, on that
anyways,
point.
Well, I just think we all need to be in the same room. I don't have a problem discussing it. I don't have a problem trying to figure it out. We just need to schedule it to where everybody can be present, to where we can all hash it out. And my minimal conversation I've had with Jamie and Carl, they did that 4 years ago, 5 years ago. And at that time, they're saying they thought they came to a conclusion. I'm assuming, which is what you're talking about with the attorney's opinion, but we just need to get, I guess, that same conclusion again or different. We need to all get together and come to a conclusion and put it to rest.
Well, you mentioned the point about the judge, and I was emailing back and forth with Rick McConnell.
So you did find a Supreme Court?
I have it.
Okay. See, and everything I was told is there wasn't one, so did you find
that
recently?
Well, the thing is, yeah, here it is. And then the thing is, when I talked to Rick McConnell about it, I said, well, you realize that Mark Grimm, in a room full of the entire state full of collectors, he gave a TIF demonstration. I mean, very thorough. I mean, better than most attorneys know, because most attorneys don't understand TIF law. But he went very step-by-step through that. And in that DVD, which is in the commission's possession, Mark went on to say that you should be distributing. It's okay with him and his colleagues that you distribute based on what you receive. So I mentioned that to Mr. McConnell, and he says, well, I've got to rely on our opinion back from 2011 because there has not been any case law on it. But then I found out about this one.
Okay.
So,
see, everything I heard, there was no case law, but there is case law. Okay.
Yeah, this is a Supreme Court decision that says that it is legal for statutory fees to be deducted. Well, if a statutory fee is allowed, that means we should only be collecting based on what we receive, because it is legal for them to keep that,
okay,
in my opinion.
I don't know if you're raising your hand or stretching.
I was raising my hand.
Oh, okay.
It's okay. When I visit with other counties, and that's, you know, there's a precedent set throughout the Missouri state offices. There's a lot of counties that have TIF districts, and probably the biggest one is Clay County. Clay County has several TIF districts, and it would make our numbers look small, I'm sure. The Clay County auditor, they tell me that they have the opinion from this court case here that they could actually charge a fee for figuring that TIF.
Well, only if it's in the TIF agreement, and that says that right in this opinion. Okay. Unless we enter into an agreement with the City of Branson to charge a fee for doing the calculation, we can't do it. Only the ones that are currently in statute, like the ones that the collector does and the ones the Department of Revenue does. Okay. And I just want to say also, I sent out an email to every county clerk in the state of Missouri, and of those that responded, none of them give fees to, or they only distribute what they collect. So, I mean, either the whole rest of the state is wrong, or we need to reconsider how we're doing it. Just a thought. Thank you for hearing me. I wait for an appointment to visit with you again on it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Court orders.
Morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
I've got a total of three sets. One of the sets of court orders I have today are fourth year tax sale. And I know with the previous presiding commissioner, they said to send those straight through. But since we have a new commission, I wanted to make sure, so I sent them up to y'all to make sure that we were still sending them straight through, or we needed to get a ruling from y'all on it. The fourth year tax sales are properties that's sold over the counter in the county collector's office. And basically what they do is forgive the back taxes on the properties. That way the person that bought the properties does not have any back taxes on their property that they just purchased.
Hey, Wesley, on the email you sent 17 attachments. Is there one attachment that you know of that lists them all?
It should be the agenda. It should be an Excel file.
Okay. Starts with abatement number 201634?
Yes.
And is the reason there's a 2014 abatement year, is that same piece of property? Just, yeah, it is.
It's the same property.
Okay.
This is what Sheila discussed with us last week about the parcels that were in a fourth year's tax sale that the surrounding property owners were notified so that they might. Most of these are like ditches or ravines or things like that that are unusable. And people have purchased them, and there's actually nothing can be built on them or used, so they end up in a fourth year tax sale. She explained that last week, and or maybe it's a couple of weeks ago, but anyway, they're asking for the abatement on the ones that she sold. Is that what the way that I understand it?
Yes, sir.
And that's because previous. When they're attached to another piece of property, they're added back to the tax rolls.
And because you didn't send it straight through, you need us to actually vote on it, don't you?
Yes.
You want that Exhibit A?
That works for me.
That'd just be the fourth year tax sale one?
Yes, sir.
Hey, but before we do that, I understand that the state statute, as we've read it before, that there's to be a person designated, and we've always just used the collector as that person, to actually put these fourth-year tax sale pieces of property in their name that they might sell them. I believe that's in the statute, and we've never addressed the appointing of that individual to be Sheila, but she's always taken care of it, so I just wonder if in the future that we might look at that and see that that it's always handier
like,
for...
Like a custodian.
A custodian, or there's a different term in the statute. I've read it, and we've read it here several times when it comes to fourth-year tax sales. But we're bait with this. That didn't have anything to do with what we're doing here.
No.
Wesley, I'm not finding it in this packet. The Excel. It's on my email, but it's not on this, in this packet. I see. That's on. Can I have yours? Can I have yours so we can make that exhibit in? And then you keep the copy?
Yes.
It's the original. Let him have that, and then when we have to sign
we'll
it,
give
anyway,
you a copy.
We?
Is that all right?
Right.
Yes. Yeah, I'm not seeing it in this packet. Mike, do you have something else? Could be. Look like that right there. That's not going to be B, is it?
No, that's part of the...
That's part of the evidence?
That's part of the evidence.
Okay. I'm going to steal that from you and make that exhibit A. Is that all right?
That's fine.
There's a pile of papers left on our table up there.
He's running over to look
on
see.
The shelf, but I didn't recall seeing it.
Well, here, Jimmy, we're going to need B and C also.
It's not in there either?
No.
You sent it in the email.
Yes, sir.
Move to approve Exhibit A, dated today's date.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
The next one is a refund on real property. It's a... one property, and it's a total of 3 years for refunds. And what these were, what it is the property is a condo that was never set up as a rental. And they've been paying commercial property taxes on it instead of residential property taxes.
For 3 years?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
They didn't come before BOE or anything on before the 3 year period was up or what? I don't understand.
They paid 12, 13, and 14 taxes. I'm assuming not realizing that they were assessed for commercial.
Let me see that.
Condominium.
After they were notified, or when did they understand that they weren't paying? Is this one that's been, I recognize the name, is this one that's been before us, or is it because it was on the email? Has it been before us before?
In BOE?
Not to my knowledge.
Is there a way, just so that we do have, because nobody can remember every single thing we see in BOE, is there a way to get like a list of, hey, these are properties that have, parcel numbers that have gone under BOE, and that way we can reference it quickly and not have to go off memory? And does that make sense what I'm saying?
I understand what you're saying.
Or is that something you guys can look at?
We do have the BOE.
We have the ability to do that. I just didn't know if there's a way to...
We have the BOE minutes, but it'll take a little while to set that up to be able to balance it back to board. Okay.
We can try to make a practice of
checking
before we bring them to you.
I mean, that way it help answer any questions we would have.
Right.
I think it'd be beneficial.
Have too many refunds, so it wouldn't be. Might be simpler for us to just check before we bring it to you instead of trying to produce a
If you don't care, that'd be... Yeah, if you don't care, that could be beneficial to all of us.
With all the things about the letter sent in for commercial rates and the fact that they were each condo owner was sent in the past a letter that stated if they were under a commercial rate, if they could state that it wasn't being used for that period of time that is set up by the state, they could be put on a residential status instead of commercial. I don't know about the 3 years on this.
I don't know. Can we do 3 years?
We can do, according to statute, that was brought and argued before the BOE that said we could go back. It had been a practice of the BOE not to go back more than 2 years on refunds. But then there was a state statute presented to us that, and I'm working this off of memory, so you have to understand that, that said that we could go back 3 years.
3 years, but that's a BOE, not commission. What can commission?
Right. But, at one time it was a practice of the BOE that we didn't refund more than 2 years. And I'm having a little bit of trouble with this because either these people weren't notified or they were among the notified people and they paid a commercial rate versus the residential rate is a pretty good chunk of money, especially on a condo. And so I don't understand if they were paying that, how they didn't recognize it every year.
We'd have to ask them, but it's amazing how many folks come in my office and they find something they just don't pay attention. They get their tax bill, pay it, and then something comes to mind later. You're down the road. And we had a guy with a trailer. It had been going on for 4 or 5 years, and he never noticed it. He was quite upset.
Do you? Is this what this is here?
Is this going to come to us in BOE, or are you making the changes for 15?
For 15, I'll make
it. You're going to make the change? Because it's an odd year, so you can...
Right.
Can we steal that one from you, too, Wesley? Can we steal that from you, too? Make
yeah.
That exhibit
take that down and let him look at it there. And,
I could throw something in the AFC. I've got one coming to you for next time. The parcel out of Kirbyville that the gentleman looked at it and he's been paying taxes on a mobile home. He had two mobile homes, a double-wide mobile home and another mobile home on the same parcel for a number of years. And he just recognized it. I went and talked to Sheila to see there would be a problem, because I knew there could be, that there would not be any money to pay for 12 or 13. But anyhow, she looked it up, and there would be money for 13 and 14. Again, this is coming to you next time. But it's the two-year thing that you were talking about. That's partly maybe why that got established, is because she doesn't have any funds there, and she doesn't have any items coming up to pay for that. So if you approve it, it either will lay there in, or you have to put it at schools, and the school would have to come and that check. So
right, I understand.
Maybe somewhere that 2 year thing came.
And when you say the schools, because they're the biggest taxing entity, but it's not.
Right, not
it's not only the schools, it's exactly. Every other taxing yeah. Entity that is involved in it. So that's the reason that the two-year policy was put in place years ago, but this is different. This is different than a parcel that has two pieces on it and they didn't recognize when there were letters sent out on this condo. This condo deal has been a great big issue, and because of that, there was letters sent out telling those people that if they were would send a letter in saying that there was a percentage of time that the thing was used commercially or residentially, then they could have a residential. If it didn't meet a certain standard, it was residential. It wasn't like a parcel here that had a, they didn't receive any notice of anything. I understand that. I'm with you on the one that you're presenting next week, but on this one, I'm not totally convinced that we should pay 3 years back, especially with the funds not coming, not being available for such a thing.
And I don't know if there is on this one or not. I didn't think they had to ask on this one. But we're right. Coming next week. Every other year has been the process. We send a letter to each condo owner.
Uh-huh.
And they send it back saying, yes, we met it this many nights,
right,
as you're talking about. But no, you don't get it at all. Stay on
presentation. Right.
And it is a bit of a hassle. But we have to, Kenny has to, proportionally, so much res, so much commercial. And these folks may not got it.
Yeah. Brandon, you understand what I'm saying on when we set in BOE and these come before us and there's been a letter, and in the time frame that you've been here, that's not been that many because that was already done years before that we sent the letters out. That was something to do with the state tax commission's request, and so that's the reason we did that. And
not the best way, maybe, but it's less than I can see. I looked at it when I got here.
Yeah. The other, every other year that those are sent out, so I have no problem with the 2 years on it, but I, whenever it comes up for a vote, when we get ready to make a motion, I'm going to recommend 2 years and not the 3 years on it, because they have received notice.
Check this note on the bottom. It's kind of hard to read. Did you get
yes,
an original?
I tried to read that.
You didn't? Okay, you didn't. I didn't know if you got an original or not. I think they've owned it for 9 years. Is that what?
What if I checked the request this morning and I tried to read that as well? And the bottom line, I think, says we requested you refund us.
Just for 3 years.
Commercial values. And it does look like 9 years.
So they've owned it for nine, they're asking for three. And they've paid commercial on the other six.
Is that Exhibit B?
It'd be Exhibit B.
I'm going to make a motion that we pay it for 2 years because of every other year they receive a notice. And if they've owned it for 9 years, then they've received several notices through the years on it. If they've been paying commercial, they've received several. Every other year they've received since the state tax commission asked that we do that, send out a letter. Sheila, I see you shaking your head yes on that, and you're in agreement with me on what the state said.
Yeah, the assessor sends out this letter, and we've checked in the past to see that the letter was sent out. What's the question? The address is
what? You guys are mean.
No, I'm not mean. I'm just doing exactly what the school districts and all the taxing entities that are involved here.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
That's Exhibit B.
With 2 years, yeah.
Yeah.
Motion carries.
Do you want to amend your motion to strike abatement number 201633? That way, get rid of that 2012 year.
Yes, that'll be fine. Is that what you're marking down there? I'm just saying, exhibit. B for 2 years.
Right.
So that automatically strikes it, doesn't it, or does it?
It does, but what year do you want to strike?
2012.
So 201633?
Yeah.
And I'll second the amendment, the amended motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Second amended motion carries.
And the last thing I've got for y'all is a personal property refund. They had the wrong vehicle year and was being charged more taxes it used to have a 2005 Tahoe on it, and the Tahoe was actually a 2003.
You guys checked that through Department of Revenue?
They did.
Or through DOT, I guess, or whatever it is. Can you make that Exhibit C with today's date?
Yes.
Move to approve Exhibit C, dated 3/30/2015.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Did you want the stop sheet also?
Yeah, we need it. Do you need copies?
I will need copies.
See, we have next on the agenda bid recommendations for Dodge Charger. And a
good morning.
Morning.
Morning, gentlemen. This is, we actually have two bid recommendations on the agenda for you all this morning. Whenever you're ready.
Are both of them on the vehicle?
Both of them are on vehicles, yes.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, the first one is bid number 201502-290. This is for Dodge Charger four-wheel drive patrol vehicles that the sheriff, who's here with me this morning, had requested. I released this bid on February the 25th. We opened responses on March the 24th. It closed the day before that. We received three responses that the sheriff and I opened here in public last week on Tuesday morning. And the three responses we got were from Tri-Lakes Motors, Carthage Chrysler Dodge, and Cavanaugh Dodge in Walnut Shade. The sheriff took possession of copies of all three of the bid responses and completed a thorough review, and he's prepared to make his recommendation at this point in time.
On the Dodge Chargers, we'd recommend going with the low bidder on that, which was Tri-Lakes Dodge, with $26,297. We also had bid as an option on both of these bids, the 5-year, 100,000-mile warranties, bumper-to-bumper warranties, and Tri-Lakes was also the lowest on that, with $1,900 per vehicle. My recommendation would be the Dodge Charger from Tri-Lakes with the $1,900 warranty included in it. We bid two of those chargers.
Motion to approve Tri-Lakes Chrysler as the bid on the Dodge Chargers with the $1,900 100,000-mile warranty on them.
Both of these bids also came in under the state bid.
Yeah. I motion to move with the Tri-Lakes with all the...
And the 5-year?
Yes.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you, gentlemen. The next one, another bid that the sheriff had asked for with the same time frame, is bid number 201502-291 for Dodge Durango patrol vehicles. Again, this was released on February 25th, closed on the 23rd of March. We opened it last week. Same three vendors responded to this bid request as well: Trilex Motors, Carthage Dodge, and Cavanaugh Dodge. The sheriff took possession of the packages, copies of the packages, to complete a thorough review, and he's prepared to make his recommendation on this bid.
Now, on this bid, let's see which one. Carthage was actually the lowest on the vehicles by a couple $100s, but they were $600 higher on the warranties. So whenever you take the warranty and the vehicles together, Trilex Motors was also the low bid on the combination of the two, with a total of $31,725 on the vehicle and $1,900 on the 5-year 100,000-mile warranty. So I'd recommend Trilex Dodge on that.
Motion for approval of Trilex Dodge with the 5-year warranty, being the low bidder with a combined total price and the warranty.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you, gentlemen. I'll notify the bidders, vendors.
Will that be taken out of the contingency fund as we had discussed earlier?
I have to look at it.
I think it will be. Right.
Saying that, I think so.
So go ahead and order then on that.
What's the total?
How many cars? The total with the warranty and everything is $157,269.
Jimmy, is this replacement?
Replacement vehicles, yes.
Is this replacement vehicles?
Yes.
The other vehicles that they're replacing, are they either wrecked or are they sold at...
They'll be sold at the county auction.
Okay.
Yeah.
County auction, you're going to put on Purple Wave?
I'm sorry?
County auction or Purple Wave?
Either one, yeah.
Purple Wave's been bringing us a lot more money, hasn't it?
Yeah, that's up to you all, whatever you want to do with it.
That we've been doing awful good over the...
Purple Wave.
Purple Wave, yes.
Will you let me know on that or go ahead?
Go for it.
Go for it. Okay. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you. Road petitions is next on the agenda.
That way, if they shoot at us, they can't see us.
Yeah. Morning, gentlemen. What Kathy's prepared is kind of a spreadsheet and a little bit of a breakdown on, we got estimated 40 roads petitioned. Some of the dates of the petitions range from 2010 through present time. And so what we've done on the spreadsheet there, highlighted in tan, that them first six roads are primarily out of the group as a whole are approximately the best candidates for taking in at this time. The next two boxes you see shaded is one subdivision, basically Summerbrook Lane through Everett Mill Road. That's a subdivision in itself over there off of Jefferson. Then the next shaded box you see, that's one subdivision in itself, Hackberry Lane through Crossbow Court, and that's a subdivision over there by Cross Creek. In there, then the rest of them are basically singular roads, except for the group of roads 28 through 32, which is the Emery Creek subdivision roads, which one of those that they were talking about wanting taken in has several homes on Southwoods. That's in the first group that I re-reviewed on that one. And depending on what we've done on the breakdown, which all of these you had the review and they're in order as they're listed here on this spreadsheet, my estimated cost and basic information also is in that review, length, different things. But on the spreadsheet, we put the number of dwellings, the length, estimated cost, date of petition, and then the subdivision name, and then any previous decision, if it's been brought up before you at any previous meetings, and some of them have, some of them were basically looked at but not chosen or made any kind of motion on. So I didn't know how many you wanted to actually look at videos. I could give you a couple examples, especially in those subdivisions, what we're looking at.
Well, I think the county commission should be informed on the amount of dollars that we plan on spending before we consider. I'm not talking about the individual roads, but the total amount that we would consider, if it be $100,000, $200,000, or $300,000, if there's a number that we need to look at to try to meet budget-wise, as far as the number of roads that we take in. Also, some of these roads that have had previous years attached to them, and some people petition a road that can't be taken in because it doesn't meet any kind of a road standard, or it doesn't have the right number of homes in it that was set up for road standards. That needs to be well thought out and brought to the attention of the commission. The amount of dollars is a big thing because I want to take in as many roads as we possibly can with a dollar amount that serve as many citizens as possible. But I also want to keep in mind that we have a certain amount of money budgeted each year for new roads taken in. And do you have any estimate, Randy, on that?
Well, right now, estimated, a good estimate I think we could handle is approximately $200,000.
So you might say between two and three, or?
I would say right around the $200,000. Okay. I think we can absorb that within the budget. Some of these roads, and what we've been doing in the past, we take a road in, we've been kind of phasing the work or the cost in over a period of 2-3 years, and some of them a little longer than that, depending on what they were going to need. As example, these last roads we'd taken in, I think we took in five roads, two of them which were in Emery Creek. We've done some minor patching, a little bit of sign work, but this year it's going to come up for a seal, which it gives us time to kind of plan and coordinate as to when we're in that area and we're not going out of our way, basically, to do a road, but we're trying to get it within our system as we can afford to and doing things like that. Other roads may require some add material or grading or different type ditch work and stuff, and so as we have time, we try to phase those roads in when it comes convenient, but spread that cost that I've estimated out over 2-3 years. So in a sense, and part of that we just absorb within labor and maintenance type work. It's not really a line item specific for new roads. It's absorbed through the whole budget, depending on what the road requires. So.
Do you have recommendations on the roads, and then the county commission can look through all those roads that you recommend, plus the other roads that might be something that we've seen in the past that we would consider? I know there's roads that have been petitioned by the county since 2005 when I came into office. Mm-hmm. 1 year we took in 13 roads, but at that time we were in a budgetary position to where we were making anywhere from 10% on our 10% or above on our money that we were bringing in to the county, so we could take in more roads, and we took in roads that were roads that had been looked at for several years but couldn't be taken in because of the budget situation. So each one of these roads that we take in, we also have to consider that it's an addition to the maintenance and the work force that it takes just to maintain those amount of roads. Each year we have to look at adding to the amount of individuals that it would take for maintenance to provide the service for those roads. Those are things that I'd like for the county commission to kind of look at and think about, even after the recommendations that Randy has. If there's a road that has been on there for a long time, then we look at it and consider it.
On your spreadsheet, the first six roads is ones that I would recommend you taking into the system. They're roads that are fairly good shape. Some of them are fairly short, but they serve four or more homes. Some of them I've got on here, it's 3/10 of a mile, has 16 homes. Another one, 3/4 of a mile, basically serves 19 homes. And not that much maintenance work attributed to them. They're fairly decent shape. Some of them have a little more cost because some of them is going to have a little bit of more work to it. The one road is currently under a maintenance program with Oakmont, and that's Boston Drive. The reason that one was petitioned is because they can't provide a chip seal. They were wanting to see a chip seal on that in the near future. So, but it's fairly decent shape. It is going to require some work to get it prepared and ready for that, and that's something we may be able to phase in the next couple of years. Amherst Way is a short road, serves four homes. That's in Riverside Estates. It's currently a base road. Very minimal cost, but we can serve four residents there. The rest of the roads in that particular area, almost all of them are county maintained. This is one of very few in there that's not.
I don't see a cul-de-sac road on it.
It does have a cul-de-sac on it. It just needs a little bit of trim work done on it, but it is platted. All these have turnarounds or cul-de-sacs associated or a through road.
Do you have it on this that we have to review? I mean, I don't see it on there, but maybe I'm just overlooking it.
If it doesn't have a cul-de-sac, I would basically state that in the review that would be something okay. That would need to be a requirement. And
We get into a lot of money on some cul-de-sacs because if they don't exist now, then sometimes they take a lot of money just to put a cul-de-sac at the end of the road, more than it would do to actually take the road in and work it over. So that's the reason I make a note of it.
Randy, real quick, I have two questions. Are the colored ones that you have on your sheet, are those recommended?
Just the top tan box is the ones right now I'm recommending. The next two, the reason I colored them, and them's the ones I've got the subdivision off of Jefferson up there, which is the next two colored boxes. It's kind of a two-phase type subdivision.
Okay.
We're looking at 96 homes within that subdivision, but I've got a total estimated cost of $196,000 just to bring that road to a reasonable standard.
Okay.
That's one that I'm going to suggest you guys look at.
Parts of?
It may be looking at taking, if anything, maybe one road in there, the main road in there, helping that out, but not the entire subdivision. We're talking some major work there.
And then the remaining ones that are not?
The next subdivision, you're kind of looking at the same thing. That's the one in Cross Creek. You're looking at serving 38 homes, and I've got an estimated cost there at $109,000 just in that one subdivision.
My question is why are some of these in color and the rest in white? Is there any significance to it?
The only significance is because them two are subdivisions and the rest are not really a group of subdivision. They petitioned the whole subdivision.
So just grouped again.
So.
Okay. And then my other question is, do you have a legend on what the classes mean as far as class 4, class 5, and then the previous?
I don't have that with me, but basically we run from a class 6 to a class 1.
Can you get one? Danny, do you want one?
We've got classes over the side.
Well, the what the meanings are.
Oh, what they mean?
Yeah.
Okay, I already know, so.
I know. Do you want a legend or?
Yeah, that'd be all right. I don't.
She's going to get that. I can give you.
While she's getting that, I'm going to go. You want to have a recess or?
Yeah, let's. We're going to take a 5-minute recess.
Randy, how do you want to do this? You just want to do it